The people of Israel had been slaves. God called Moses, let them out. They got into the wilderness and they spent these years learning how to be God's people, learning to whom they belonged. After they received the Ten Commandments and these instructions about how they'd live, these words are spoken. God's words that Moses teaches the people. Deuteronomy 4, beginning with verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that He swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of things that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord of life, you never have forgotten us. And help us never to forget you. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a kid and in the summer my mom and dad would pack me off to summer camp for a week, my mother had given some thought to this and knew my habits. And so she laid all my clothes out on the bed and you know, took a permanent marker, and you knew what she did. You know, every piece of clothes, you know, had my name on it. Every piece of underwear, every T-shirt, the bottoms of my socks, you know, had my initials on it. Because she had this vision of, you know, 12 little boys in this camp for a week in this cabin, and she knew that our clothes would end up nasty, strewn from, you know, here to there. And so she knew at least you could retrieve them. At the end of the week, they would know to whom they belonged, and you could find it. She also had this little thing that she took plastic bags, and, you know, in the Monday bag, she put, you know, pair of shorts, T-shirt, you know, underwear, clean socks. You know, had the Monday bag, had the Tuesday bag, had the Wednesday bag, and that was her way of... But I guess I pleased them because I figured out, you know, you could live a whole week just on the Monday bag. and so, you know, you come home on Saturday with my clothes all still in the bag. But the point was, you know, to know to whom the stuff belonged. In a way, that's what's going on in this story. These people have been led out of slavery. They get out there in the wilderness, and not so sure this was a great idea. They begin to grumble about the food and the water, and they get the Ten Commandments, and they're sort of sure they want to do this, not so sure, parts of them. So God tells Moses to tell them this, to remind them some ways to remember to whom they belong, who it was that did this for them, who it was that saved them in the past, who it was that's given them a future, and who it is that's with them right now. And so he tells them, the Lord is one. There's one Lord. And love this Lord with your heart and your soul and your strength. Another way of saying that is love God with everything you got. Love God with everything you are. And then some concrete ways to remember. He says, you know, wrap it, bind it on your hand and on your forehead. I'll never forget being on an airplane, El Al Airlines, going from New York to Israel, to Tel Aviv. I was going on a study trip some years back. And, you know, on a transatlantic flight, you know, you leave New York or this side of the world late at night, and you sort of get over Europe about as the sun's coming up. So we were somewhere over the Mediterranean, headed toward Israel. And if you looked around the cabin, you know, a few people had their windows up, and you could barely see a little line of sun on the horizon. But, you know, most people were still under their blankets, you know, sleeping all around the cabin, big jumbo jet. But then at some point, these guys started standing up. These guys with dark black coats on and big beards and sidelocks, Orthodox Jewish guys going. And to the consternation of the cabin attendants, all these guys were standing up in the aisles. And, you know, they're trying to get rid of the attendants. They're trying to get, you know, breakfast out in a few minutes. But these guys are standing up in the aisle, and they take a little drawstring bag, and they open them up, and they pull out of them these, it looks like a harness. It's these leather, black leather straps, kind of a jumble of them. And on the straps, there are these little, every so often, there's two little leather boxes, little cubes, black leather cubes. And then they wrap the one end of the strap around their head, and they got a little box here on their forehead, and they wrap it all the way down their arm, and the second little box is right here by their heart, and the strap, the harness, ends up around their hand. They're fulfilling this injunction to remember the Lord is one, and you'll serve Him with everything you have. And, you know, make it, bind it on your hands. And so they wrap it and plaster it on your forehead. And what's in that little box that these Orthodox Jewish men do every morning, what's in that box is this scripture in Hebrew, carefully written out, and that in another little passage from Deuteronomy 11, and it's carefully folded in a certain way, and it's in there. And every morning, if you're Orthodox, except on the Sabbath, you do that. As the sun's coming up, it's your morning prayers. It's a way of carrying out this, remembering every morning who you belong to, who was in your past, who's given you a future, and who's there with you now. When I got to Israel, I saw another thing that is directly related to this passage. Whenever you would go into a house or even a public building, certainly a synagogue or a building where Jews live, there would be over on the door frame, on the outside, a little thing. And if you just look casually, you might think, well, that's a long doorbell or something like that. It's a little container, about that big, maybe as long as 6 inches and a couple inches wide. And it's put on the doorpost, just like it says here. And this scripture is inside it. It's a little container, and the scripture is inside it. And you would see, as Orthodox Jews would go in out of their house, they would kiss their fingers and touch that, symbolically kissing these words. A reminder in their coming out and their going in that God is one, and you'll love God with everything you have. It's just daily reminders. I saw a TV special not too long ago about a man whose ancestors had come several generations ago from a little town in Romania, but all the Jews had been deported and killed during the Holocaust. And he went back to see if he could find this street where his grandparents had been raised. He sort of knew the name of the street. And so he went to this little town in Romania and said, where do the Jews live? And they said, well, there were never any Jews here. And he said, no, there were never any Jews here. And so he finally goes down this street. He begins to notice on the houses, there's a little notch on each doorpost. There's nothing in it now. It's just a little indentation. But he knew this is where it had been. They're gone now. But the little remnant, the vestige of where those people who had come out and going in had remembered. So it's very important to remember. And Moses tells the people, we're going into this promised land. And it's going to be great. God has given you this place. It has got plenty of water. They've been out in the desert. He says, but you know, you weren't responsible for that water. It's got lots of trees and plants and shrubs and vineyards. But now you're not responsible. You didn't do that. It's a gift. So you need to remember. Remember. And so he tells them to remember not to forget. Not to forget. And so we have those things. Some of you may have a keychain that's got a cross or a fish on it. That may be a good way. Some of you may have a necklace that's got a cross. Or some people have, I've seen some people with a tattoo that's a cross. That's a reminder of them, of something about their faith. You may have something on your car. I don't put one on my car because there are times the way I drive and my responses might do a real disservice to the gospel. I don't want people to look at me and say, he's a Christian and that's how he behaves in traffic. So some of you are more faithful than I am on that matter. But there are different ways that you just simply remind yourself. And some of those are outward ways. There are, of course, some inward disciplines that we do. There are some things we do to remind ourselves in our heart who we belong to. One of these is praying. Praying all through the Bible to do it. Jesus did it, said do it. Have you ever thought what praying does? You know, most of the time, most of us are spending our waking hours planning, organizing, anticipating, thinking about what needs to come next, what needs to happen. We're usually figuring out how to be in charge, how to control the events, or how to control the family, or how to control my work, or how to control my clients. We're figuring all that out, working all that angles, and that's not a bad thing. But most of the time in our waking days, we're sort of living out of the control tower of our head. You know, I mean, that's where we live. We're busy people doing things. But praying is those moments where you climb down out of the control tower. And it's not about me organizing the world anymore or judging the world, because a lot of that work going on in our mind today is judging, you know. Well, they're worthy. They're not. You know, they're good. They're not. I mean, we make those decisions just all day. But when we pray, we climb down out of this little position of being the emperor of the world, and deciding how everything should be, and making it work. And we simply open ourselves to the one who gave us life. So praying is when we step down from being in charge and we get over ourselves and we get over our agendas and we are simply present with God, being present with God, and perhaps to discern what God's deeper agenda is. And in praying, we remember. We remember who we really are and whose we really are. You know, the same thing happens with fasting. Some of you fast. It's a very revered Christian tradition. Probably don't hear as much about that as praying. What fasting does, it disconnects us from every our sort of impulses, our cravings, our appetites. That is another thing that sometimes runs our lives. Sometimes it's our appetites that run our lives. And so when we have intentional moments where we say, no, I'm not going to do that, we're creating a sort of a free space, a space where we're reminding ourselves, even for maybe one meal or a day or however we do that, long we do that, like Jesus did, we know He did that, we're simply reminding ourselves who we are and whose we are, who owns us, and to whom our loyalty, our final loyalty is due. And so that's what happens when we do those things. They're ways of remembering, among all the others. When we come in and receive communion, we remember. We take that little bread and we take that cup. And there's all kind of symbolism around that. One is that Christ is in us. We eat and drink. And it's a reminder that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. It's also a reminder that we're one community. It has many meanings. It also reminds us that Jesus ate with shared bread with people who weren't worthy of it, but He fed them anyway. Little reminders. And there's another one we do, and you probably knew I was going to mention it, given what Keith mentioned. Our giving is a reminder. When we set out in an intentional way and said, I'm going to set aside not only part of my time for praying, maybe not only my time for fasting, but I'm going to be intentional about my giving. And because I could believe that my life consists in what I own and what I consume, but in my better moments, I know it's not. In my better moments, I know better. And so by having a plan for giving, by setting aside amount, historically and in the Bible, they would set aside 10%, a tithe. And it was a way of saying, you know, I go about all my transactions, and I may forget during the day, but I do remember. I do remember who I really belong to. And who really gave me life. It's just a way of remembering. You know, when we write a check to the church or make a gift, it's not just business. A few weeks ago, I guess it was Mike Welch talked about, he said, you know, I used to write my check to the church when I wrote my check to the, to the utilities and for my other things. He said, but at some point in my life, it took on a different meaning. It becomes a reminder, a holy reminder. My words here, not his. But my prayer for you and hope for you is that in the coming days, as you consider how God has blessed you, that you will be intentional in your desire to by what you spend and what you save and what you give, that you'll be reminded of this one who gave it all to us and for us. This is the one who has been in our past, who has brought us to life and kept us alive and brought us to good things to this point in our life. This is the one who has great things for us in our future, and will be with us in all our struggles as well as our joys. And this is the one who is with us even now. Every moment, as close as Every breath we take, as close as every beat of our heart, it's this God. And so I invite you to be in prayerful consideration next week, this week, about how you'll set before you this intention of reminding yourself. People of God, beloved sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father and our Creator, you who have been called and forgiven, and you who have been blessed, go and be a blessing. And know in your going, He is there with you forever. The one we love is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.